kind of restore yourself and bring happiness and peace into ourselves, and we can sing the song. Well, today we will have a first session of walking meditation together with our teacher and with the whole community as a sangha. And there's a song, it's not in this book, but it's very short, and it's a gatha that our brother and sister practice, and we can apply that when we do our walking meditation. And the song can go like this. Maybe some of you already know and I need your help. That we have here. Okay, let's sing together.
The mind can go in a thousand directions, but on this lovely day I walk in peace. With his step, a gentle wind.
Probably we will sing one more time when we do our walking meditation. And you can just remember some of the words. On this lovely day, I shall walk in peace. And with each step, a gentle wind blow. Each step, a flower bloom. But our teacher has not arrived. Okay. And maybe we can sing one more song, and this is also a classic song. I have arrived, I am home, and you can also apply that in our walking meditation. Like our teacher usually shared, that establish yourself at that moment, and which step to say, I have arrived, I'm home, in the here, in the now. and bring yourself to that moment. And if it's kind of hard to remember, like to bring yourself back, then just sing a song and help you remember that song. I have arrived. I am home in the here and in the now. I have arrived. I am home in the here and in the now. Thank you, our teacher. Thank you.
The Sangha is invited to come back to a breathing so that the collective energy of mindfulness can bring us together as an organism, flowing as a river with no more separation. Let the whole Sangha breathe as one body, chant as one body, listen as one body, transcending the boundaries of a delusive self, liberating from the inferiority complex, the superiority complex, and the equality complex.
Namo Shakya.
Dear friends, let us practice breathing together for 1 minute. Breathing in, I know I have a body. So when you breathe in, you know that you have a body. You don't think of anything else. You just bring your attention to the fact that you have a body. It's nice to have a body. And breathing out, I smile to my body. Smile with your body with love and compassion. It says, it's like, hello, dear body, I know you are there. And happy you are there, smiling to our body. Let us do it together with the sound of the bell. Today, the bell master is a French nun. And she will invite the bell for us to enjoy breathing together. Three sounds of the bell. Breathing in, I'm aware that I have a body. Breathing out, I smile to my body. Aware of body, smile to body. One more time. So peaceful, so pleasant. Good morning, dear friends. Today is Friday, April the 6th in the year 2012. And we are on our second day of the retreat with the team Cultivating Happiness. I'm very happy to have young people, children in the retreat. I love to be with children. We shall do a walking meditation together after the Dharma talk. I believe that there are those of you who want to grow up to be a school teacher. I think it's very nice to be a school teacher. A school teacher can be a happy person. The Buddha is also a teacher. He did not teach mathematics, literature. He taught people, he teach people how to be happy, how to suffer less and to be happy. And I am a student of his. I have learned many things from my teacher, the Buddha. And the Buddha is not a god. The Buddha is a human being like us. He's not a god, he's a human being. He had suffered as a young person. His father wanted him to be a king, but he did not want to be a king because he saw that his father, the king, was not a happy person. He did not want to be a politician. So he tried to learn and practice in order to suffer less and to be able to enjoy life, to be happy. And finally, he became a Buddha, which means a teacher who has the capacity to be understanding, to be loving, and to be happy. And he has become the teacher of many people, especially the young people. In the first year of his becoming a Buddha, he had so many young people follow him. More than 1,000 young people who follow him as students. And all of them live a very simple life as a monk. So the first year of his teaching, he was surrounded by about 1,000 young monks. The nuns came much later. I know a school teacher in Toronto. He's a professor of mathematics. He came to Plum Village in France and learned. He stayed for the whole month, practicing mindful sitting, mindful breathing, mindful eating, and so on. So he got a lot of transformation and healing. When he came, he went back to Toronto, he tried to transmit his wisdom and his happiness to the children in his class. The day he entered the classroom, he was walking mindfully to his classroom. And the students in the class were very surprised. Their teacher was not used to walk like that. And they saw their teacher open the door and walk in peacefully, mindfully, and they were very surprised. They thought that teacher was sick. And they asked, "Papa, are you sick?" And they love him, they call him Papa. And he looked at them and said, "No, I'm not sick. Why do you walk like that?" "Because I practice mindful walking. I enjoy every step." And then he began to talk to his students about his practice in Plum Village, about mindful walking, mindful sitting, mindful breathing, and the joy of being peaceful and relaxed and happy. So he decided that his class will practice something like the bell of mindfulness. Because in Plum Village, every time we hear the bell, we stop thinking and talking and doing things. We just stop and we enjoy breathing in and out at least 3 times. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. And you get more relaxed after 3 times of breathing in and out. During the time you breathe in and out, you don't think anymore. You don't think of anything. You just enjoy breathing in, and you just enjoy breathing out. And because you stop thinking, your mind have a chance to rest. And because while breathing in, you allow your body to relax. That is why your body has a chance to relax also. So there is a peace and relaxation during the time of mindful breathing, and you feel better after 3 times of breathing in and out. Every sound of the bell allowed us to have enough time to enjoy breathing in and out three times. And if the three sounds of the bell, and we have a chance to enjoy nine times breathing in and out. And we experience the feeling of peace during the time we practice breathing. So he did not have a bell with him. That professor of mathematics, his name is Henry. So he proposed to a boy sitting in the front row that every 15 minutes, the boy will clap his hand two times, like that. And teacher and students stop talking, stop teaching and learning, and just focus their attention on the in-breath and out-breath. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I enjoy breathing out. I don't do anything. And because they did not have a bell, so they use the hands and clap like this every 50 minutes. And teacher and students had the chance to rest, to stop working in their mind, to stop doing things like writing, calculating, or things like that. And that practice helped the whole class to be more joyful, and they like the practice. All the students like the practice, and they take time, they take turn in order to do the clapping of the hand. And the result is that a month later, they could see that all the students made a lot of progress. And the relationship between teacher and student was excellent after 1 month of practice. They enjoy practicing, breathing together, resting together. Not only the students get transformation, but the teacher also is much more joyful and loving teacher. You know, before that, although he's a very good teacher, but he got angry very easily. Sometime he shouted at his student. And there were times when he was so angry that he can launch a piece of sword, to that boy who made something silly, who did something silly. But finally, with the practice of mindfulness, he became a very gentle teacher. And there was one time when the student did not understand at all what he thought. He did not angry anymore. He said, "You do not understand. It's my fault," he said, "because I did not do my best in order to help you understand." And the result of the class is so wonderful that other classes in the school, they begin to imitate the practice of mindful breathing with the clapping of the hands in every 15 minutes. And finally, he got a small bell for the use of his class. When the time for him to retire as a teacher, his school, the administration of the school, asked him to stay on for a few more years, because his presence in the school made so many people happy and helped the students to learn and to study much better. I guess that when you grow up and become a school teacher, you might like to do like Henry, bringing the bell mindfulness into school. And among the adults here, there must be a few who are school teachers. And you might like to bring the bell mindfulness into your class. And the practice of mindful breathing will enhance, improve the quality of our teaching and learning in school, as shown by Henry, the professor of mathematics. This morning, I would like to show you how to invite the bell. We don't say hitting the bell or striking the bell. It's a little bit too violent. We see the bell as a friend. We want to be kind to the bell, and that is why we say inviting the bell to sound. And the bell is seated on a small cushion, even if it is small bell. You see that cushion? The bell is practicing sitting meditation. There are all kinds of bells. There's big bells like this that the whole village can hear. And this is a mini bell. And today, when we go for walking meditation, we will bring along this small bell. And halfway of walking meditation, we will sit down, enjoy sitting together, breathing together for a few minutes, and we invite the bell to guide us to enjoy mindful breathing. If you want to be a bell master, and then you have to learn a little bit. First of all, you have to bow to the bell, like to bow to a friend. Because the bell is a friend that can help you to bring peace, relaxation to your body and your mind. So I bow to the bell with gratitude. And I pick up the bell. And I put it on the palm of my left hand. With the big bell, you cannot do that. It's too heavy. Imagine this is a lotus flower. And this is a jewel in the heart of a lotus flower. So beautiful. Your hand is as beautiful as a flower. And the small bell is as beautiful as a jewel. And holding the small bell like that, you begin to practice mindful breathing. You practice breathing in and breathing out two times so that you are calm enough. If you are not calm enough, you are not a good bell master. So after having breathing in and out two times, you are calm enough and you are qualified as a bell master. And there is a poem for you to use while you breathe in and out. And when I became a novice monk at the age of 16, the first the first thing I learned by heart is that poem for me to invite the bell. The four lines. The first line is body, speech, and mind in perfect oneness. It means you have to bring your mind back to your body, and together with your speech, you are one. Body, mind, and speech are one. You are concentrated. And in order to do that, you need only to breathe in mindfully. When you breathe in mindfully, you bring your mind back to your body. And mind and body are together. That is the first line. You recite silently in your mind when you breathe in. Body, speech, and mind in perfect oneness. And when you breathe out, there is another line for you to read silently. I send my heart along with the sound of this bell. This is not a simple sound. There is my love in it. I send my heart along with the sound of this bell. And then you breathe in again. May all of you who listen to me awaken from your forgetfulness. People in the world, they live in forgetfulness. They breathe, and yet they don't know that they are breathing. They walk, but they walk like a sleepwalker. They don't know that they are walking. They don't enjoy every step they make. They eat, but they are lost in their thinking. So that is called forgetfulness. Forgetfulness, it means your mind is not there. It's the opposite of mindfulness. Mindfulness means that your mind is there, always with you. While you breathe, while you walk, while you eat, while you sweep the floor, your mind is always with your body. You are mindful of everything. Mindfulness is what we practice here. And the opposite of mindfulness is forgetfulness. Body, speech, and mind in perfect oneness. I send my heart along with the sound of this bell. May those of you who listen to me awaken from from your forgetfulness. And then the last line, and transcend the path of anxiety and sorrow, and begin to experience peace. It's very helpful if you can memorize the four lines, so that when you breathe in, you know what to recite. And when you breathe out, you know what to recite. And after having recited the four lines, you become calm, concentrated, and you are a real bell master. And then the first thing you do is to wake up the bell. By making a half sound. That is a half sound. It's not a full sound. The half sound is not to cause a surprise for the bell and for the people around us. It means, please, a full sound is going to be produced shortly. And this is to help you to prepare yourself in order to receive the full sound. That is what it means by the half sound. And you are kind enough to allow people enough time to prepare themselves for the reception of the full sound. In the Buddhist tradition, we consider the sound of the bell as the voice of the Buddha calling us. The Buddha is not in the sky. The Buddha is in our heart. And he's calling us to go home to ourselves, to be mindful, not to be lost in forgetfulness. So the sound of the bell is the voice of Buddha. Dear one, please don't get lost in your forgetfulness. Go home to yourself. Become aware that you have a body, that life is a wonder. So that is the voice of the Buddha from within, calling you back to your true home. And you prepare yourself in order to welcome the first full sound of the bell by breathing in and breathing out mindfully. Breathing in, you say, there's two lines you can use. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Calming, smiling. And if you are a good bell master, after the half sound, you allow people enough time to enjoy one in breath and one out breath to prepare for the reception of the full sound. And the in breath and out breath of children are always a little bit shorter than the in breath and out breath of the adult. That is why if you are a bell master, after having finished your in-breath and out-breath, you allow a few more seconds for people to truly enjoy fully the in-breath and out-breath. You are so kind to allow us enough time to enjoy our in-breath and out-breath. That is already compassion. That is already love. And then now you produce the full sound. The full sound will help you to begin to enjoy breathing in and out three times. And you may like to use another poem. I listen deeply when you breathe in. And when you breathe out, you say, this wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. According to this practice, your true home is in the here and the now. There's so many wonderful things in the here and the now, like the morning, the sunshine, the flowers, your beloved one. Everything is available in the here and the now. And that is your true home. Your true home is not in the past or in the future. So breathing in for you to go back to the here and the now and enjoy your true home. And that is why there is the gatha for you to practice. Breathing in, I say, I listen deeply. Breathing out, you say, this wonderful sound of the bell brings me back to my true home. According to this teaching and practice, your true home is in the present moment, where you can find comfortable and happy. And you can enjoy breathing in and out like that three times. And if you are a bell master, after having enjoyed three times breathing in and out, you invite the bell to sound for a second time. And people have a chance to enjoy three more times breathing in and out and cultivate more peace and happiness in themselves. So three sounds of the bell give us the opportunity to enjoy nine times of breathing in and out. And we get a lot of peace and serenity and joy with three sounds of the bell. And after that, you invite the bell to sit down again. And you bow to the bell. And your work as a bell master is finished. Today I would like to, I want to, you might like to invite this bell, to borrow this bell to try. And in the classroom, a bell can be very helpful. In a family also. There are times when in a family the atmosphere is not so calm. Someone may get angry. Someone may not be speaking very kindly, so you suffer. And if the whole family agrees, and then anyone can invite the bell to sound, and at that moment everyone will stop saying things. Everyone should follow the in-breath and out-breath, and breathe in mindfully, breathe out smilingly. And we restore the peace and the calm in the family. So I suggest that the bell of mindfulness can be used in school and in at home. I remember one day I met with the president of the National Assembly of India, Mr. Narayan. And I proposed that the bell of mindfulness should be in the house of the parliament, because sometimes the discussion, the atmosphere of the parliament is so hot. People may be shouting at each other, accusing each other, and there is not enough peace in the house of the members of the parliament. So the chairperson of the National Assembly will have the right to invite the bells so everyone will stop talking, shouting, getting angry, and calm themselves. And Mr. Narayan, who was at the same time Vice President of India, he liked the idea very much. But bring peace into the parliament. So if you are going to become a school teacher, you might like to bring a bell into your classroom. If you are a householder, you might like to use a bell of mindfulness in your home. And if you are a member of the parliament, you might like to introduce the idea of having a bell of mindfulness in the parliament so that there will be more peace and serenity in the workplace. Now I'd like to sum up before. Before you invite the bell to sound, you practice breathing in and breathing out two times. In-breath, out-breath, in-breath, out-breath, with the four lines. Remember, body, speech, and mind in perfect oneness, I send my heart along with the sound of this bell. May those of you who listen to me awaken from your forgetfulness and transcend the path of anxiety and sorrow. Breathing in, out, in, and out. That is to prepare yourself to become a good bell master. And then you produce the half sound. So that people have a chance to prepare themselves for the reception of the full sound. But before the full sound, when you hear the half sound, you practice breathing in and out. Again, one time. Breathing in, I calm myself. Breathing out, I smile. So that is enough to prepare yourself for the reception of a full sound. And after the full sound, everyone, including the bell master, have a chance to enjoy 3 times of breathing in and out. I listen. This wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. I listen. This wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. I listen. This wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. And then the second full sound, and with the 3 in-breath and out-breath. And finally, the last full sound, followed by 3 in-breath and out-breath. I listen. This wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. And then you bow to the bell. And if you have not memorized the poem yet, you just enjoy your in-breath and out-breath. That is good enough. But it's very nice to learn by heart the verses. And I have been using these poems for 70 years and more. So this is our lesson about inviting the bell to sound. And today I hope that the children will have a chance to learn and practice and become bell master. Maybe tomorrow you may report to us the result of your practice. Okay. So now, when you hear the small bell, you may like to stand up and bow to the rest of the Sangha before you go out and practice on your own. Only the children. You turn around to see our parents, and at the small sound of small bell, you bow and you go out. Have a good day. Chứ có giới nghiêm này. Dear friends, the Buddha gave many times teaching on the practice of mindful breathing. There are dozens of sutras on the theme of mindful breathing. And our practice of mindful breathing has to do with our suffering and our happiness. Exercise number 4. Is to cultivate joy, cultivating joy. And exercise number 5. Number 5 is cultivating happiness. Exercise number 7, bone number 6, 5, 6. Exercise number 5 is cultivating joy, 6 is cultivating happiness, and 7 is to recognize, to be with your pain. To recognize your pain, to be there with your pain, a painful feeling, a painful emotion. And the 8 is about to calm down the feeling. Calming the painful feeling. So we see that, that these two exercises are about cultivating joy and happiness, how to generate the energy of joy and happiness, how to bring about a feeling of joy and happiness. And a good practitioner should know how to generate a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness whenever she wants to. And then a good practitioner also know how to be there for a painful feeling when it manifests, a painful emotion. A good practitioner never let the painful feeling alone, a painful emotion alone. She always tries to be there for that feeling of pain and emotion. She practices mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of walking, so that she has enough of that energy of mindfulness. And with that energy of mindfulness, she recognizes the pain, she embraces the pain, and then she calms the pain down and begin to transform the pain. So the 7th is to be with your pain, with your suffering, to listen to your pain, to embrace tenderly your pain. And the 8th is to get a relief, to suffer less, thanks to the energy of mindfulness and concentration. And we should train ourselves so that we can handle both happiness end suffering. The suffering in us is always there, but sometimes they manifest. Sometimes they do not manifest. In the depth of our consciousness, there is a seat of sorrow, anxiety, fear, anger, violence. And when they do not manifest, we feel okay, we feel we can live, we can survive. And in this moment, we may like to profit in order to generate feelings of joy and happiness, so to help the seed of joy and happiness in us to grow. And when the seed of joy and happiness are strong enough, it's very easy to invite them to manifest and to bring in a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness. Is something very easy to do when the seed of joy and happiness has become strong in us. But when the seed of pain, the seed of sorrow and fear is touched and manifests themselves up in the upper level of our consciousness, we should not try to suppress them, cover them up, and try to run away from them. Instead, we have to be there for them. And to be there is our practice. If we know the practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking, mindful sitting, we can generate enough of that energy of mindfulness and concentration, and we can be there with our pain, and we can embrace our pain, our sorrow, our suffering tenderly, and we can get a relief. We can calm it down, and we suffer less. And when there are other members of the Sangha around us, they can lend us the energy of mindfulness and concentration, and we can very well profit from the collective energy of mindfulness of the group in order to help being with our pain and embrace our pain. So in this practice, the presence of co-practitioners in a community is very helpful. And when the pain, the sorrow have been embraced, go back to the depth of our consciousness, and then we have a chance to continue cultivating joy and happiness again. And there is a connection between suffering and happiness, and a good practitioner always knows how to handle and happiness and suffering. But before we have the first exercise of mindful breathing, which is to recognize, to be. To be with our in-breath and out-breath. When you breathe in, we want to be with our in-breath. We don't want to be with something else. We don't want to be with the past, with the sorrow, with the regret concerning the past. We don't want to be with the feeling of fear and uncertainty concerning the future. We want only to be with our in-breath. So the first exercise is to truly be there with our in-breath and our breath. And during the time we breathe in, we become our in-breath. The only object of our mind and body is our in-breath and our out-breath. And breathing in mindful like that, focusing our whole person on our in-breath and our breath, we become a free person. Free from the past, free from the future, free from our projects. And with that freedom, happiness can be possible right away. Breathing in, I recognize, I'm aware that this is my in-breath. Breathing out, I am aware that I'm breathing out, and I can enjoy my out-breath also. This is the first exercise of mindful breathing, to recognize your in-breath as in-breath, to recognize your out-breath as an out-breath, to be entirely with your in-breath, to be entirely with your out-breath, and leave everything else out of your attention and mindfulness. It looks simple, and it is easy enough to practice, but the effect is huge. It gives us freedom. You put down the burden. You become lighter and freer just by breathing in and out and focus your attention entirely on your in-breath and out-breath. And we need some training in order to get a good habit of enjoying breathing in and breathing out. The second exercise proposed by the Buddha is to follow our in-breath and out-breath all the way through. Suppose my in-breath lasts 3 seconds. And this is the beginning of my in-breath. This is the end of my in-breath. And I want to be with my in-breath all the way through. There is no interruption in the process of breathing in. Breathing in, I follow my in-breath from the beginning to the end. I follow my in-breath all the way through. I enjoy my in-breath all the way through. Not only you are mindful of your in-breath, but you are fully concentrated on your in-breath. The energy of mindfulness carries the energy of concentration within herself. And the quality of your in-breath has improved because there is no interruption at all. You are fully aware of your in-breath and you are fully concentrated on your in-breath. Improving the quality of breathing. And that bring more pleasure and peace. And then the third exercise is being with your body. To be aware of your body. It's like this, to be aware of your pain here. You breathe in, you become aware of the presence of your body. Here, you become aware of the presence of the painful feeling. To be there for your body, to recognize your body as existing, to to realize a happy reunion between mind and body is the purpose of the third exercise of mindful breathing. And we can only be established fully in the here and the now when our mind is home with our body. And when we are home to our body, we might help the body to be in a better state. In the body, there may be stress, tension, or pain. And that is why the fourth exercise is to calm the body, to release the tension in the body. It is exactly like you do with your painful emotion. The seventh exercise is to be with your painful feeling, to be aware of your painful feeling, to recognize the existence of the painful feeling. And the eighth is to embrace and calm down the painful feeling. It is exactly the same with the case of the body. The third exercise is to be with your body, to recognize the presence of your body. And then the fourth exercise is to help the body to release the tension and reduce the pain. So the first four exercises deal with the body, help the body to suffer less, to be more relaxed and calm. And the next four exercises are to deal with the feelings. First of all, a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness, and then to be there with a painful feeling, and then to calm down the feeling and to suffer less. This is a basic practice. There are another eight exercises, but we should begin with the first eight. The first four is for taking care of our body, and the next four is to take care of our feelings. So there are 16 exercises on mindful breathing. And the practice is to pick up the exercise that you need in the present moment. You don't need to go from the first to the 16th. You are aware of the situation and you know exactly what exercise, which one of the exercise that you need to take up and to practice in the present moment. Suppose the painful feeling is not yet there. The seed of sorrow, fear, anger are still sleeping down there. So you don't need to right away to practice recognizing the painful feeling. You wait until it manifests in order to practice taking care of it. Now we may like to practice generating a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness, because we need some nourishment to heal. And sitting like this, mindfully, can produce a joyful feeling, a happy feeling. Breathing in, if we know how to do it, breathing in mindfully can produce a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness. Breathing in mindfully, we bring our mind home to our body. And when mind and body are together, we are established in the here and the now. And in that situation, we can get in touch with the wonders of life in our body, in our mind, and around us. There are plenty of them. And that is why generating a feeling of joy, generating a feeling of happiness is always possible in the here and the now, provided that the seed of anger, fear, and joy are still sleeping down there, quietly down there. So the practice recommended by the Buddha is a practice of happiness. We talk about suffering, yes, and the practice of transforming suffering, yes. But we also talk about happiness and the practice of how to generate happiness. Mindfulness is the kind of energy that allowed us to be aware of what is going on. In the four domains, body, feelings, perceptions, and the objects of our perceptions. Mindfulness is the kind of energy that we can generate. And with mindfulness, we can bring our mind home to our body. That's the first thing, so that we can be established in the here and the now. Also, mindfulness helps us to get in touch with the wonders of life that are refreshing, nourishing, and healing. And based on that practice of mindfulness, we can always generate a feeling of joy and a feeling of happiness, not only for ourselves, but we can help the other person to do the same. We can help him or her go home to himself or herself, establish in the here and the now, and help them to get in touch with the wonders of life in them or around them. That is the practice of happiness, cultivating happiness. Mindfulness should have the power to calm the pain and to promote happiness. The practice of mindful breathing should help us to calm the suffering. The practice of mindful breathing should help us to suffer less. The practice of mindful breathing should help us to create a joyful feeling, a happy feeling. Otherwise, mindfulness will not will be of no use. So breathe in mindfully. That is a good thing. But breathe in mindfully in such a way that can calm the pain and bring about the happiness. That is our practice. And we do not need to suffer with the practice. If we feel that we suffer while we breathe in, that's not good practice. If while breathing in we feel peace and joy, that is good, correct practice. The same thing is true with walking. I remember that day a journalist came from Paris and he joined us in walking meditation. He suffered so much during the walk. At the same time, many of us enjoy every step and get the nourishment and healing, but he was forced to slow down, which makes him suffer a lot. So that is not good practice when you suffer. Even if you are very mindful, and if you suffer, that's not good practice. Please remember that. Even if you try to be as mindful as you could, and if you make the kind of effort that makes you tired and suffer, that's not true practice. While practicing walking meditation, you might follow the practice recommended by a teacher. I am about to lift my foot. I have not lifted my foot, but I know that I'm going to lift. You are mindful that you have intention to lift. And when you lift your foot, you say, I begin to lift my foot. Lifting, moving, placing. Lifting, moving, placing. You divide into mindfulness of one step into three parts. Lifting, moving, placing. Lifting, moving, placing. And you can do like a machine. And there might not be any joy. There is no life in that practice. The essential is to feel alive and joyful and happy when you make the step. Making a step should not be hard labor. Breathing in should not be hard labor. We should be able to enjoy breathing in. We should be able to enjoy making the step. When you place your foot on the ground, And if you are truly mindful, you feel you are touching Mother Earth with all the wonders. And the happiness can be great to feel that you are alive and you are touching, walking on this beautiful planet Earth can bring great happiness. It depends on your power of mindfulness and concentration. To have the insight that you are alive, you are fully present, you are making a step on this beautiful planet Earth can bring a lot of fulfillment, happiness, and joy. Imagine you are an astronaut, a scientist, and you have to spend 6 months living in the sky lab, always floating. There's no gravity. And for the first time, you are allowed to go back to the Earth. And you enjoy every step you make on the Earth, on Earth. So walking meditation is like that. You should be able to enjoy every step. The master, the Zen master Linji said, the miracle is not to walk on thin air or on the burning charcoal, but the miracle is to walk on Earth, to feel alive, to feel life is a wonder, to make a step and get in touch with all the wonders can bring a lot of happiness. That is to perform a miracle, the miracle of walking on Earth. And walking like that, every step brings you to the kingdom of God, to the pure land of the Buddha. And every step like that can be nourishing and healing. You completely stop your running. You enjoy the present moment. You get the healing, the nourishment in the present moment. And one thing should be made clear, our notion of happiness. What is happiness? What is real happiness? Many of us believe that in order to be truly happy, we should strive in order to get on the top. We have to got some power, some fame, some wealth in order to be truly happy. We may be caught in our idea of happiness. Looking around, we can see people who have a lot of these things, power, wealth, fame, sex. But many of them are very lonely. They suffer a lot of stress, burnout. And they believe that they do not have enough power and fame and wealth. They need more. And we know that true happiness will not be possible unless we have some peace inside, unless you have the power to understand and to love. It's very clear that someone who does not have understanding and love in him or her cannot be a real happy person. We may not have a lot of money or fame or power, but if we have peace, understanding, compassion in us, we have happiness. Imagine someone who does not have compassion. That energy of compassion born from understanding. Understanding the suffering bring about compassion. A person not having compassion in himself cannot relate to any other human being. He is completely alone. Compassion is what can help us to connect with people around. Otherwise, you are completely cut off, alone. And we know that understanding and compassion can be generated by the practice. And the kingdom of God should be defined as a place where there is understanding and compassion. In this competition to get to the top, whether you are in the realm of politics, or education, or business, in this competition, there is no winner. Because the one who is on top suffers also from burnout, from stress. And the one who is not on top also suffer. There is no winner. Last week we had a retreat for school teachers, educators in London. And all the teachers told us that they all suffer from burnout, stress. Not only teachers suffer, but students also suffer because they are forced to run, to do so much in order to get to the top. And the cost, the damage caused by the competition is great. And it's very clear that in that competition, everyone will be a loser, whether you are on top or not on top. And that is why there should be a change in the structure of education. The same thing is true with business and politics. The same thing is true with nuclear weapons, nuclear energy. So we should be able to release our notion of happiness and got a more realistic, true idea of happiness. It is very clear that without understanding, without compassion, there could not be any happiness. And even if we have a lot of fame, wealth, power, well, we still live in hell. And that is why having a good, a correct notion of happiness is the beginning. And if we know what is real happiness, we can generate energy of joy and happiness right away. We know what is true happiness. And we need the time to sit down and to look deeply to see what we are doing and how we are doing with our body, with our mind. And then the practice of transformation, healing, and nourishment will be possible if we have a correct view of happiness, true happiness. Is it possible to be happy and joyful when you brush your teeth? Is it possible for you to be happy and joyful when you prepare breakfast for your family? Is it possible to be happy and joyful while you walk from the parking lot to your office? The answer is yes. It depends on your way of walking, of brushing, of cooking. If you have enough of that energy of mindfulness and concentration, you can enjoy every moment of your daily life. And you can live deeply every moment that is given you to live. That is the art of cultivating happiness. And the other aspect of the practice is to know how to handle painful feeling, painful emotions. The practice of meditation has two aspects. The first aspect is to stop running, to stop the patterns, to recognize the patterns of behavior that we used to have. The habit energy of running and looking for happiness in the future, believing that happiness is not possible now and here. We do not have enough conditions of happiness. And the practice of mindful walking can be a way to stop that kind of running, that kind of behavior. When you breathe in, you may make one step mindfully. That's called a slow walking meditation. It is possible when we are alone. Breathing in, I just make one step. Very mindfully. I invest all my mind and body into making that step. And while making the step, I say, I want to arrive. I have arrived. It means I arrive in the here and the now, where life is available, where the wonders of life are available, where conditions of happiness are already there. So unless I invest all my mind and body in making that step, I cannot truly arrive in the here and the now to 100%. But because I am alone doing walking meditation, slow walking meditation, I can afford myself to go very slowly, one in-breath and one step. I have arrived. I have arrived is not a statement, a declaration. It is a realization. If I know how to invest my whole body and my whole mind into making the step, I can arrive 100% in the here and the now. My mindfulness and concentration are powerful enough to help me truly arrive with one step. If I notice that I have not arrived 100% in the here and the now, I would not make another step. I stay in the same position and breathe out and breathe in again until I am sure that I have really stopped the running and have truly arrived in the here and the now. You don't need someone to tell you that you have arrived 100%. You will know by yourself. You have no desire to run anymore. You don't need a Buddha to tell you. And the time when you notice that you have truly arrived 100% in the here and the now, you might like to smile. That smile is a smile of victory. That is a revolution that you are making. One step and arrive and stop the energy, the habit of running. You smile a smile of victory and you make the second step. And that is what we can do while we are alone practicing slow walking. And every step like that brings us freedom from the past, from the future, from our projects. Every step can put us in touch with the wonders of life. And if our concentration is deep, powerful, we can touch the ultimate dimension, the eternity in the instant. But when we walk with the whole Sangha, it's not convenient to do slow walking like that. Breathing in, I would make two steps, or three. I would say, I have arrived, I have arrived. And I profit from the collective energy in order to arrive fully with everything. I allow myself to be carried, to be transported by the collective energy of Sangha. So I enjoy breathing in, I enjoy making two steps, I have arrived, I have arrived. And if I feel joy, happiness, peace, I know that my practice is good. If I suffer during the walk, that's not a correct practice. And when I breathe out, I may like to make three steps instead of two, because our breath is always a little bit longer than our in-breath. I have arrived, I have arrived. I am home, home, home. The rhythm is 2, 3. And you can enjoy every step, arriving and feeling at home. This is a wonderful way to learn how to enjoy living in the present moment. experiencing joy and happiness in the here and the now. And with the energy generated by the community, we'll be able to do that. Later on, we may like to make three steps while breathing in. It will come a time when we feel that it's much more pleasant to make three steps breathing in rather than two. So we will allow ourselves to make three steps while breathing in. I have arrived, arrived, arrived. Always arriving at our destination. The destination is here and now. The destination is the kingdom of God, the ultimate, the pure land of the Buddha, available in the here and the now. And when you breathe out, you make five steps. Three, five, three, five. Arrive, arrive, arrive. Home, 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 home. For me, that is the rhythm. Two, three, three, five, or four, six, or five, eight. No, 6, 9. The essential is that you enjoy, you feel peaceful, nourished, happy during the walking. And walking like that make the kingdom of God, the pure land of the Buddha, available in the here and the now. It is a pleasure to be walking in the kingdom every day. And when we get the habit, we will walk like that from the parking lot to our office, to the workplace. We can walk like that at the airport, at the railway station. And the kingdom of God is always with us. And walking like that can bring a lot of fulfillment and happiness and joy. So after this, we shall walk together with the children. And it is possible for us to generate enough the energy of mindfulness and joy and peace.